B. Mitch and Finley, High Noon in the District of Columbia. And points north, south, east, and west. We're out west. Ashburn, VA. I think for the first time all year, we're going to do our – every week we do power rankings. We go to NFL.com in hopes they'll be the least hot takey. Who knows if that's accurate. But it's the same dude that writes them every week, Eric Edholm. We've had him on the show. I at least agree with his methodology, and I support that – he tries to own, like you see this in college sports, and unfortunately it really hurts teams in college sports because like the rankings matter so much. That's changing somewhat, especially now with the 12-team college football playoff. But like a team that's just really high ranked, even when they lose, will still stay ahead of other teams that have been better, but they didn't come into the season with the high ranking.
Totally.
Luckily in the NFL, there's a playoff system that takes care of everything. But for the first time, I'd say all year, I'm guessing we can all unequivocally say who the best team in football is, who's number one in power rankings, and it's not the Chiefs.
The Lions.
It's got to be Detroit now. You could lean on KC because they had that undefeated record, even though they were just narrow win after narrow win. But it's Detroit, and it's Detroit by a wide stretch now.
I think so.
Who's number two?
Bills.
They just beat KC head-to-head.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Number two is the Bills. The Bills look really good. Josh Allen's taking care of the football in a way he hasn't previously. I think having – you know, they went to him kind of late, maybe halfway through last year, but Joe Brady as the OC up there helps a lot. They've got
– Joe Brady's from LSU, right?
Yeah. He was a play caller on that title team.
Joe Burrow.
I think they've got – just a lot of variety in that offense. And I think when you've got two backs you really like in Davis and Cook, you got a bunch of receivers, Shakir, Curtis Samuel starting to play well up there.
Yeah.
Curtis could always get open, man. That dude had separation. Honestly, that dude would help this team a lot because they don't have a lot of guys on this team that can get open fast. They don't have, like, the quick twitch guys. They have guys that can get downfield and get some speed. Keon Coleman's been good for them, even though he's missed a little bit of time. That Bills team looks legit, and if they are the one seed in the AFC and everything has to run through Buffalo and there's 8 feet of snow on the ground, it gets interesting. KC went up there last year, though, and beat them. So,
yep. KC can still end up with the one seed.
For sure. I am curious, do you remember a couple years back when the Steelers had – I think the Steelers had gotten to 11-0 – and then Washington went up there and beat them, gave them their first loss. And then the Steelers really kind of came limping to the finish line that season. I believe that was 2020.
Do you think that's going to happen?
I wanted to ask you, do you think that could happen for KC?
Nah.
I don't either. And a lot of it is just based on Reed, Jones, Kelce, Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right?
But as much as we discuss it,
their wins have been narrow margins.
They're narrow margins, but they still win.
Yeah.
I think that's the ultimate thing where they lost to Buffalo, and Buffalo, I thought, which one was sacked? But he got out of it, boom, he goes, first touchdown. They don't get that first down, they got problems.
Right. Steelers back in 2020 started 11-0. And then proceeded to lose four of the last five. So they finished the year 12-4. And in the first round of the playoffs, got knocked out by the Browns with Baker Mayfield at quarterback. Remember that game?
Wow.
It's a crazy league, man. It's a game of runs, baby. But the Bills certainly belong to be there, too. The Chiefs, I think at some point Mahomes has to play better. And it's easy to say, yo, they're 9-1 and Mahomes isn't playing that well. And that's cool. But at some point, they're going to have to play better. I'm sure Andy and Pat are aware of that.
They're working on it. And I think the thing about Pat, early on, I think Pat has always tried to get everybody involved and do little stuff.
Yeah.
Late in the game, Pat goes to the same two people, three people, and it works. He might have to start going to them early.
Who's your fourth best team? Who would you put four?
Fourth best team. either Minnesota or
Green Bay.
Philly. You don't think Philly's got it?
Philly is coming.
They've won six in a row all of a sudden.
Yeah, but the people in Philly still worry about number one.
Hurts?
Because he can get the ball to other people a lot still.
If you were an Eagles fan, would your greatest concern be Hurts or Sirianni?
Sirianni seems to have gotten out of the way.
It was the game they had before. It was the Jags game. He kept going for two and, like, overcomplicating things. Lanville, who's your fourth best team in football? Who's your final foe?
The Chiefs.
So who would you have three then?
The Ravens.
Still?
Yeah, sure.
They won, just lost to the Steelers. They have four losses on the year. You just think the talent is too much?
Yeah, they're good.
The Ravens stuff is interesting to me. So here on NFL.com, it goes Lions, Bills, Chiefs. I think that is correct. Then Eagles, Vikings, Steelers. I think the Steelers have to be ahead of the Ravens at this point. And I think, I don't know what happens with Lamar, but.
Man, the Steelers are not that good, man. You know I'm doing that because Scotty started texting me, so that's why I was not going to give you the Steelers' name.
Texted me too.
Yeah.
So. I think the Ravens' offensive talent, when you have Lamar and Derrick Henry, is so significant.
Yeah.
But when you get into these low-scoring playoff-type games, you have to find other ways to win, and I feel like they may not be able to. Maybe that's premature to say, but...
Well, when it gets cold, I think having somebody like Derrick Henry is vital.
I'm going to read this from NFL.com here. You know, they're only, I got to confirm this, but I believe their only touchdown drive against Baltimore came without Derrick Henry on the field.
Against the Steelers?
Yeah, yeah. I'm reading now from NFL.com. So they go Steelers 6. I may be very wrong. I think the Vikings defense is very good. I'm still having a tough time with the Minnesota Vikings with Sam Darnold as the fifth best team in football, but that's just me. I'm reading now about the Ravens. Sunday's loss to Pittsburgh is going to leave a mark. If the Ravens cannot win the AFC North, we might look back at this game as the turning point in that race. They're only a game and a half back of the Steelers, but two games back in the loss column, and Baltimore has one fewer game left than Pittsburgh, which means one less chance to make up that gap. Now, the rematch in Baltimore is virtually a must-win affair for the Ravens. Even though the Steelers' defense dominated in this one, Baltimore had ample opportunities to win prior to the missed two-point attempt that would have tied it late. Turnovers were a problem, but it really came down to field goals, with Pittsburgh's Chris Boswell making all six of his tries and usual Steelers killer Justin Tucker missing two first-quarter kicks. That's now six misses on the season for Tucker, one shy of his career high. Baltimore's D stepped up Sunday, but the team has to wonder whether it can count on Tucker from distance in clutch situations now. While the Ravens are by no means in trouble, there are some concerns when the offense is not cooking. The Tucker thing is real, dude.
It is. Because he's never been that guy. But as quick as he lost it, if he finds it, they got a weapon still.
I don't know if it's age or what, but for somebody that's been that good that long to just kind of not
like getting
have
the yips,
it,
JP.
Yeah.
Age ain't got nothing to do with that one.
I hear it.
He has distance. He just don't have accuracy. And is that just a hook or here or there? Like the kicker the other night. Slipped.
Yeah, I saw
that
one. Landini, how do you feel about the Vikings as the fifth best team in football?
That's a dumb list. The Vikings suck.
How much money will you put on whoever plays the Vikings in the playoffs in that first round?
At least seven or eight.
Dollars or hundred?
Dollars.
Okay, that's a big bet.
He's not betting 100.
The Vikings down the stretch, they've been playing really good football. They're at Chicago, Arizona, Atlanta, Chicago at home, at Seattle, Green Bay, and then they finish at Detroit. Mm. That, I think, if I had to guess, Sunday Night Football Week 18 is going to be Vikings at Lions, because that, you know, the way those two teams are playing, that should matter for the one seed, for the NFC North, for all of it. I don't know if you guys agree with this, because their defense has been really good, but we still have 6 weeks of the season left. They have the Vikings at 5 and the Packers at 8. If I could wager on...
You'll take the Packers?
Who I think will go deeper in the playoffs, I think I'd take the Packers. What about you?
Packers are the Vikings?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if it started today, and it doesn't, but if it started today, the Vikings would head to Atlanta for their wild card game. The Packers would head to Arizona for their wild card game. And old Washington would head to Philly again. I think I'd like the Packers.
I'm with that.
The Packers have proven, I mean, last year they maybe should have gotten to the NFC title game.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way they went to Dallas and beat the tar
beat
out of them.
Beat the brakes off of them.
Yeah. I think Jordan Love's getting healthier. Now, granted, we say all this, but Green Bay barely won last week in Chicago thanks to a blocked field goal.
They won.
Yeah. What do you make, Brian? All right, so we've made it to 8 is Green Bay, 9 is the Chargers. What do you make of Jim Harbaugh's crew?
They seem to be a more feistier bunch this year, where I thought they were front runners in the previous years. Right now, Jim has those guys not quitting. And their quarterback, I know you've liked him a long time. I thought he was like the same way, a front runner. Now he seems to be willing to dig deep and go and show what he's about.
Yeah, and I think what Harbaugh has him doing running just gives them another element.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the Chargers, I don't think they're in that Bills, Lions, Chiefs
not
tier.
Yet. Not yet.
But I'm not convinced they're not in the Ravens, Steelers, Vikings tier.
I think the Ravens, Steelers are still a tier above them.
Okay. What do you make? Whenever I see discrepancies like this, I'm always curious. The Chargers have the top-ranked defense in points allowed.
Mm-hmm.
But they're 11th in yards allowed. That's a pretty big gap. That's 10 spots.
Yeah.
Maybe they're playing really good field position in special teams.
I mean, they get closer to the goal line. They don't give up points.
Yeah. That offense is they're 18th in the league in points and yards, right? But I feel like their offense has really been trending up. In the last 4 weeks, 4 wins in a row, they've scored at least 26 points. Whereas early in the year, one, they had back-to-back relative duds against the Steelers and the Chiefs. What we know about those defenses now, those are two pretty good teams. They also dealt with some injuries. I think Herbert was injured. Unless you've looked, where do you think the Commanders land?
I'm going to say they land at 15.
Wow. I'm guessing Jeff hasn't looked. Jeff, where you got the Commanders landing?
Because we lost two. I'm going to go about 17.
Wow, you guys are going way down. Okay. I know Landfill has looked. Commanders land 10th in the power rankings.
All right.
Okay.
Let's just think about it, though. See, this is the whole thing. I hate even having a conversation about all this, the way that they come up with these type of things. Everybody come up with something totally different. You just heard Greenberg say 19th. Okay. He's been normally right around 4 or 5 behind everybody else. And now this.
But you just said what, 15?
I think 15.
Said 17?
So this guy says 10 now. And they lost 2 in a row. Is that from based off what you said earlier? Once you get to a certain level, it's hard as hell to fall out of it, because they were like number 6 at one point. Then you lose 2 in a row.
Let me read what Ed Holm wrote. They were 8th. Now they're 10th. It's hard not to notice the downward trend the Commanders' attack has been on since Jaden Daniels suffered a rib injury in Week 7. The problem is they need their offense to carry them past their defensive issues. A step up in competition might be a factor. Either way, for the first time since September, we're starting to see some cracks in their armor. They're a miraculous Hail Mary away from having 3 losses in their past 4 games, with 2 narrow wins over teams with losing records keeping them afloat in that span. Washington continues to have an 81% chance of making the postseason, per next-gen stats. But a lack of consistent playmakers and an inability to finish off games is a bit concerning. Facing the Cowboys and Titans at home gives the Commanders a chance to rebound. If they continue to struggle to move the ball or put points on the board, then it might be time to worry. I think that's really pretty fair. And that's kind of where I've landed, is everybody wants to have these conversations about, are people figuring Cliff out? Is Jaden hitting a rookie wall? All these things. Let's talk about it next week. Let's see what happens this week. Because I'm quite aware that it's easy to say you think the offense is slowed. Last week they scored, or 10 days ago, whatever the hell it was, they scored 27 against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. The Giants game, I don't think that was a squeaker at all. They put up 27. The Giants were able to score late, but they had a pretty comfortable grasp on that game the whole time.
Yeah.
The Bears thing is fluky. How often are you going to hit Hail Marys? I understand.
Well, we hit it that time.
Right. The offense struggled in Philly, period, full stop, not looking past that. I just think if things go right this week, like, it's not quite receipt-keeping season, but there's a lot of people in a big-time hurry to start throwing dirt on a coffin, and I just think it's like, way too early for any of that.
I agree with that.
Does that seem fair?
Totally.
Now, power rankings are also kind of irrelevant, right? Like, this isn't what determines who gets in the playoffs or anything.
See, power rankings could be whatever they are. It comes down to who plays better that day.
Sure.
That's why and I get over caught up in it.
And consistently, right? Like, who could deliver consistently? Mm-hmm. I did just want to read San Fran real quick. Edholm has San Fran at 16, which mm-hmm. I think is about where you and I might have them. There's no other way to say it. Sunday's loss to the Seahawks was crushing. Blowing leads against NFC West opponents has become a chronic issue. Sure, the Niners were playing without George Kittle, and for most of the second half, Nick Bosa, and a few bad breaks went against them. Those mitigating factors don't make the outcome count less when it comes to the playoff picture, though. If San Fran misses the postseason, and as of Monday night, the team had just a 29% chance of making it, we'll look back on this one as one of the bigger reasons why, along with earlier losses to the Rams and Cardinals. The 49ers were more in control of those games. Even so, on Sunday, they did have the ball at the Seattle 46-yard line, protecting a 17-13 lead with 3 minutes left. That's usually when Kyle Shanahan teams, especially at this time of the year, bleed out the clock or score to put the game away. Instead, the Niners had to punt and then watch their defense allow Geno Smith and company to drive 80 yards in 2-plus minutes for the game-winning touchdown. After all the 49ers have been through, the playoffs just might not be in the cards this season. That would be a pretty stunning fall for San Fran if they missed the playoffs entirely. And I think it's quite possible. We shall see.
We'll see.
Coming up next, Dan Quinn will address the media live here in Ashburn. You'll hear it right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. If you're in need of a midweek boost, FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, has you covered with the Hump Day Parlays Rewards Stack. Now every Wednesday, you can get parlay profit boosts on everything from spreads to over-unders and even player props. So don't let the weekend have all the fun. Take advantage of the Hump Day Parlays Rewards Stack. Who knows? It might just become your favorite day. Look for the Hump Days Parlays Reward Stack in FanDuel app to find your profit boost. New to FanDuel? Visit FanDuel.com/Brian. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is an official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Opt-in required. Max wager amount applies. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan, coming to you live from Commanders Park out here in Ashburn. This is the day when Dan Quinn normally talks to the team. All right, and we're going to go right out to the park and take a listen.
Yeah, good to see you guys. Thought start off by just acknowledging, man, I'm really excited to get our team back to a normal practice schedule. And that's important for us, the individual skill work, the competition periods at practice, good on good, and the execution All three phases working at full speed. So that's a big deal for us. So all that said, get ready to get rocking with you guys.
Along with that, what are some of the, you know, with Jaden, for example, you said he wasn't able to go. What are some of the things that maybe stood out in the games where you say that could be a lack of what we usually do in practice?
Timing, I would say, you know, whether it's matching a certain, you know, route, you know, to a coverage, you know, deep balls, deep overs, you know, just the exact timing, John, of some of the plays. So, and not to get it confused, we have practiced some. I meant just, you know, over and over the repetitions of it, the importance of that. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. And I am also looking forward to getting, we would do some good on good work on days like today and tomorrow. And you'll see that back ramped up as well.
And then, and we ask you about Marshawn every time, so I'll just give, but what,
sure.
What is he, what do you
consistent.
What do you anticipate him being able to do today and then maybe this week?
He'll work off to the side today. So had a speed day over the weekend, more strength than that today. So work to the side, and then we'll see what tomorrow looks like if we're able to work him into, you know, some of the practices. But I'll have a better sense probably tomorrow afternoon, then into Friday, where it will go. But he'll work off to the side today.
Good point. Thank you. I don't know if we've asked about Austin Seibert much, but what's his status, and do you feel like he's got a chance to get going this week?
Yeah, we'll get him some work into practice today, and we'll see what today and tomorrow looks like. But he'll get work both today and tomorrow, and I think we'll probably have a better assessment when we get into the kickoffs and all that into tomorrow. So today, you know, ramp it up, and then tomorrow, full on to see where we stand.
And the guys that you brought over with you from Dallas, Dorrance and Dante and a couple other guys, what about them specifically, other than, like, obviously they're talented players, but you talked about, you know, changing the culture, things like that. How did you look at them in that regard as to what you wanted to accomplish here and why those guys specifically meant something to you?
Yeah, I think the line of scrimmage is a big deal, and I saw firsthand, you know, with Tyler and Dorrance and Dante, you know, what they could do and how they could affect the game. And so I knew having some people along those lines to maybe look around the corners as I was just getting started. Hey, what Dan's trying to say here might be X, Y, or Z. And then the addition of Noah as well, you know, was somebody that, although we didn't spend years together, I did get a sense of like what the worker was, the competitor was. He really just wanted a chance to compete. And that's, you know, something that he knew he would get the opportunity with us here, saying that was going to be kind of the central theme of what we were going to do. So that's kind of the backstory there.
Now that you started to dive into the Cowboys and looking at what they do, how much of what they're doing on defense is significantly different from the scheme you ran with him?
That's a good question. I would say coverage-wise, there's probably some differences. Nikki, Mike's got, you know, a good blitz package that, you know, he's used and been successful for a long time. Fronts and that, like most everybody around the NFL, you know, has similar stuff to go. And how do they feature the players into those matchups? But it's been good to see guys like, you know, Overshown. I had a sense of where that would go when we selected him. Ability with Duran. And so much when he got there, you know, was that inside, and we moved him back outside, and he was always comfortable in the moment, Nikki. And so I can remember a game during his rookie year in pregame. It was like just this very cool confidence about him. One common thread for a lot of guys is the secondary coach Al Harris, really skilled in that way. And so the combination of Joe and he, you know, together, and to see a guy like Duran, you know, take off, it was really, you know, cool to see.
Have you seen anything around the facility yesterday or today that shows you the benefits mentally or physically of getting that weekend off?
For sure, the energy today going in, and even Monday to a certain extent. And the reason I say that is it was back to tell the truth, the full extent of it. We had a chance to go through what we liked, what we didn't, and kind of discuss it. And what's the individual skill work that we want to get better at? And so we were able to kind of outline that and make a like a really strong declaration. This is what we want to improve upon. And so, yeah, there was definitely a difference in them knowing what we're looking for at practice, you know, over the next few days, a ramped up speed part of that. That's a big deal for us.
I know you're a big process guy. Was there anything coming out of that short week or the way that you could change your normal practice schedule now that you feel like, oh, okay, this is how we can improve on that area going forward?
Like you're saying, like, so next year's Thursday game? No, probably more for the shorter week to say, you know, when you don't have a, you know, execute like you want, you first look from a coaching standpoint to say, was there too much? What is that the space to go to? So that's more, you know, I do an after action for every game. And each week you go through different things and you're always kind of tweaking it. But I like the process of the week. I don't like the result of it. But I did love the fight, the energy of the guys going into it. So that part was good. But the execution part, you know, I got some notes on that for sure.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
Good afternoon.
We've talked before about the tendency, obviously, Copycat League and all those things. When you look at the way that the Eagles employed their coverage plan to take Terry out of the game, how much does that impact your game planning for the next week and even future opponents to come?
Yeah, that's a great question on the copycat, because it goes on all three phases. You know, if something worked one space, you know, what does it look like in the next one? In this instance, really, it's going to come back to us and the way that we execute and play. And so we weren't pleased with our own style and execution of how we did it. But like I said, that's not to, you know, give them, I don't want to take away from their performance. And how do we adjust? We get to do that again in a month or so, and so we'll look forward to that. But in the meantime, back to our own structure to go. And if we do see a team trying to employ something that was effective, we generally keep that alive in our practice reps over the next 3 or 4 weeks, even if they don't have it, just to say, okay, a team may try that, to your point.
And in that vein, actually kind of already touched on it, but maybe a little bit deeper, when you have a tendency that's pretty firm, pretty strong, and has been successful, but one team maybe kind of cracks the code, is one opponent enough to get you to kind of come off that tendency, or do you need more opponents to say, like, hey, we figured this out?
For sure, to say, like, one's some, two's, you know, an occurrence, but three's a pattern to me. So I would say you're always looking to say, is there – you know, why one moment or one play in that way. But I have a sense that some of that math will change.
Last couple of games, defense has largely played pretty well, but then there's just been these kind of backbreaker late big plays. How do you balance kind of the encouragement and the development with letting those guys know you gotta finish that thing?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You don't want to negate, you know, 50-some minutes of good training, good plays to go. But you also don't want to minimize the other part. And the thing that I'd said, you know, for the players is, like, being battle-tested is really important. And it doesn't happen during the easy moments. It happens during the hard moments. And those are the ones that you do have to go through. It sucks when you're going through them, but you do have to go and know, okay, this is the finishing time. This is the finishing moment, offensively, defensively, teams, whatever that looks like. So you have to stand up, talk the truth about it, and then how do you work on to go get that part right? Because it's more than just mindset of finishing. It's the execution of it all. And so I love that our team is becoming battle-tested. Like I said, it's not easy to go through, and it does not happen during the easy moments. You know, it happens during the difficult ones.
Speaking of the difficult moments, that O-line was really beat up, I think, Pittsburgh going into Philly. How much did the break help? Can we get a little specifics on Biotish and Wiley?
All are on the offensive line, are full practice. So, pool party time. That's good.
Did you say got pool party time?
Yeah, I got a chick right there right off the bat. That's
okay.
Awesome.
Just picturing a pool party. You know, Mike
daytime
McCarthy.
Pool party chick.
I got you.
Daytime.
Daytime. All right. Well, then we can't hang. Okay.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy, you know very well.
Yes.
So does Joe Witt. What
yep.
is that chess match like with guys that you know better than other coaches because you work with them?
Yeah, and it happens around the league, you know, of guys that you keep up with, you know, at different spots along the way. And Mike's like a phenomenal coach. I learned like so much from him in a lot of different ways, both on the field and off the field. So I know that you know that, and he has that same, you know, thoughts about some of the things that we've done. So there is a chess match, but at the end it's the guys executing and playing it out. And so that's a number one, top of the pile, our execution, the speed at which we play. And so that's a number one at the top.
And you said this week that because Jaden was, you know, banged up, he didn't get a chance to practice as much. What do you want to see from him now down this stretch?
Back to playing the position with all the reps with the guys. And so that's a big deal, Chick, to make sure the throws, the different types, the movements out of the pocket, the runs, all of the things that when he plays quarterback, it's unique. And that's all the things that we have to practice outside the pocket, remaining a passer, down the field. And so you can script some of those, work some of those at the line, but I think just getting the timing really concise, that's a big deal for us.
Dan, you mentioned the ebbs and flows of a season and having the benefit of a Bobby Wagner, a Zach Ertz, veterans that have been through the ups and downs of a season. What does that do for a coach like yourself to maybe they can kind of control some things and help things in the locker room?
Yeah, I'll lean on players like that. These are the type of men that we'd all want to be led by. You know, talking about Wagner and Ertz and others that just have, you know, incredibly high standards about their work and how they go about it. And so leaning into them on the difficult times, that's what you should do because they're very steady. They're hard to get off course. They have just such conviction about how they do things, their standards. And so yeah, I definitely lean in on guys like that a lot.
Hey, it's B-Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV. And just like our upgraded football team, now is the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rood system yet, trust me, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV. And if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. So head over to Rood.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winter. Always remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
I've been in the right place. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Listen, we're going to talk some Caps with John Walton coming up at 1 o'clock. At 1:30, Mark Seagrave is going to join us, get us all up to speed on everything going on at RFK.
Okay.
B, from what I hear, it sounds very, very exciting at RFK. But I also talked with some folks like, nothing's a done deal until the city and the neighborhood can get behind it too. Like, this is a huge first step, but I don't start thinking the steps are over.
Well, I'm just going to say this. If the city gets the ability to be able to make it happen, it's going to happen.
I also think this ownership group and these are people with real juice, man. They got connections and money and do things the right way.
You think if they thought it wasn't possible, they would have been behind it?
I think if they thought it wasn't possible, they'd already be breaking ground in Landover.
That's where we go. Yeah.
I think it's an exciting time for the stadium stuff, especially as the team's doing well and the city's kind of doing well. Dan Quinn just spoke. I'm curious what, if anything, stood out for you from his comments.
Everything he's saying, I'm expecting, you know.
To me, him saying, like, yeah, it's finally nice just to be back on a normal week.
Yeah.
I think that's a real thing. I think they got out of their flow, and I think Quinn is a big flow guy, if you will. Like, I think he's very much a planned, detailed, process-oriented person.
Then you can you know what's happening a little bit better. When
right.
things are off, you're not sure.
I think perhaps the most important comment he made was, did you hear what he said when I asked about the O-line?
No.
He said, it's pool party time. He said,
oh, yeah, I heard him joking with Butch coming about that.
Yeah, he said, everybody's going to be on the full, like, nobody's going to be on the injury report. Everybody's going to be a full participant. And that's the first time that's happened in a long time.
Yeah.
And I think if you, I mean, you talked about him for weeks, if not months, about Biadasz, about how nasty he was, the level of security they had on the interior of that offensive line, and they just didn't have it the last couple of weeks.
They didn't.
Cam Hayward beat him up pretty good. Jalen Carter beat him up pretty good. And when you have that sort of interior disruption, it messes everything up. Go back to the 4th-and-2. Now, granted, there was like a little, whether it was the cadence issue or a snap issue or just him bobbling a snap, whatever it was, like that impacted that play, but the interior pressure impacts everything.
Totally.
And I think if you get the O-line healthy is just a huge, huge factor. I don't know.
That's the most important thing, because everyone feels that this offense has to get back to where it was. And it's very easy to just say, oh, the quarterback. Quarterback can't do a damn thing without O-line.
Right. We've seen that. I am curious what you think going forward of Lattimore. He's not going to practice today. They'll see as it gets closer later in the week is how that was explained.
I think when he got here, you know, we were thinking it could have been like a Davante Adams type thing, but he was obviously had to be hurt. And I think you wait till he's able to go, and then you go with him. Don't rush that.
I don't know if you and I talked about this since I asked him on Monday. I asked DQ if there had been any surprises in Lattimore's timeline. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, did he get here and this thing was more complicated maybe than you expected? And he said, no real surprises, but we've just got to take it very slow. And
I agree.
It's a soft tissue thing with a speed guy.
Yep.
And so, right.
And the whole thing is to get him healthy and then have him play for an extended period of time. No one is just expecting him to play one game, two games. You want him to be able to finish this season up. If things go how we expect them to go, you want to be able to get into the playoffs and do some great work, you know, and then have him a healthy dude next year as well. As I stated earlier, and I guess people don't like to hear it, rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because DQ didn't want to hear rebuild, right? He wanted to recalibrate and all that.
Call it whatever you want to call it. It's the same thing. They are starting over. And they'd much rather have all those guys in place when they completely start this thing than have the guy come in, have one great game, and be out for the rest of the year.
I agree with that. And I think it's not that complicated. I don't think Lattimore was a rental. I think they want Lattimore to be part of this thing going forward. Now, you'll probably have to guarantee some cash. Like, there's probably going to be some contractual manipulations that need to occur. But that's fine. That happens. If he is of that caliber player, then you're in good shape with it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, based on what I've seen from him, I am excited to see him get on the field whenever it happens.
Yeah, you'd like it sooner than later. I think if you had to pick 2 weeks where you don't need him, it might be these next two. Although, dude, whatever, it's Cowboys week, just start there. Can we make a rule, B? Can you and I, outside of these four walls and the prison cell and the aquarium, nobody might listen to us, let's stop with Dallas week. Like, that used to really matter and be
a
really important thing.
I think the hope is to get it back, though.
Right, but let's get it back and then talk about Dallas
week. Yeah, but you don't get it back without talking about it.
Asking Dan Quinn about Dallas week in his first year here,
hey,
it's just you want to ask him about coaching against the Cowboys where he used to work? Cool.
But think about it. Coaches run in, and the first thing they talk about is Commanders' mindset and culture. Same thing.
You
got to switch it and keep moving.
Yeah.
But he understands. This dude is close from his area. He understands
how
the fans are. You're going to get asked those questions, dude.
It's just, to me, so cliche to be like, hey, coach, it's Dallas week. What do you think? But that's part of the game, I suppose.
It's how it goes, Jay. We had people calling in telling me about their greatest moments yesterday. This is something for fans. May not be, I think the fact that players come and go, that means they got to get in and learn about the culture. Learn about the rivalries and things like that. You know, and you don't get that just by no one ever asking about it or putting it there. You got to put it there. Figure it out.
They are certainly playing the Cowboys this week, and you would love for them to beat their ass on a million different levels. Nobody will get away from that. Let's do this. We're going to talk a little Caps hockey, try to figure out what is going on with Alex Ovechkin. Depending what you believe on the internet, there's some folks that think this is a longer-term injury. There's some folks that think this is a shorter-term injury. John Walton joins us next.